And here we are on the Great Motivation Monday. Brent, all the way to the right.
Hey.
Jen, middle of the right.
What up?
And Jeffrey on the far right, but that's just politically.
Oh, Jeffrey.
So my challenge to you this morning is this is a meeting about you, most important person in the world. It is designed to inspire you and motivate you, but you can't call it Inspirational Monday. That's not very good.
No, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Exactly. There's no alliteration there. So we call it Motivation Monday. Because it is our internal sales meeting, and you get to witness it and participate in it.
And it is our live segment of the Sell or Die podcast. You can get Sell or Die at any of the podcast apps that you use to listen to your podcasts.
And I think what you need to do is buckle up and get your laptop out. You're on Facebook Live, but boy, could you ever be with us simply by asking a question. And we will try to help you answer it. We will not put you down big time. We might give a little bit of a nudge.
No, we want to help you.
Right.
That's our goal here.
And we want to have a good time at it. That's the goal. Have a good time. Help you motivate Monday. So,
that's right.
Jen, we have a topic this morning.
We do?
Yeah. You were just talking
about
it.
You know why we have a topic, Jeffrey? Because we are prepared.
Oh, yeah.
We don't just show up to a sales meeting without a goal.
And by the way, if you're looking for fun with topics, go take an SCTV rerun on YouTube somewhere and watch Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis on the Great White North come up with their topics like the best beer bottle openers and and who has the coolest cap on their beer. It's a great topic.
Oh, man.
But I'm telling you, it's hysterical. SCTV might be the funniest show of all time on television. John Candy.
Well, it's not on television. It was on television.
At one point.
Joe Flaherty.
Yeah. Past tense.
Yeah.
Past tense. Rick Moranis. Dave Thomas.
So before we give you more TV
Andrea
suggestions
Martin.
That of shows that are no longer on but are really good to watch,
mm-hmm.
if
Martin
you
Short.
Could share this with your friends, that would be the greatest. Give us some likes. Share it out.
Thank you. Where are those hearts across the screen? I don't see Jack on there.
I don't know. I see a lot of people watching, actually. So yeah.
If you hear a good point, you can give one of our hosts a ding.
Yeah, you can give us a ding. We love the ding.
Yeah, type ding in the chat.
Ding is like the wrong word, though, because it's a good ding. It's like ching.
Yeah, we got
like
one of those.
Cha-ching.
We got one of those, too.
Oh,
cha-ching.
I like that. Yeah, ching.
Okay, so.
Oh my God, Dave Ferguson says, I'm sold on SCTV. Dave, we're going to see you later today in our studio. We're super psyched to
Dave
have you here.
Dave is going to be here live to do a Sell or Die segment.
That's right. Maybe we'll do it on Facebook Live for part of it so you guys can meet Dave.
Oh, sure.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah.
Lives in Mooresville, though, which is like you can't get there from here.
I don't know where that is. I'm from New York.
It's north of north.
That's my excuse whenever people try to talk to me about Charlotte geography. I'm like,
not from here. I don't know.
I don't know past my 5-block radius. So, hey, Alex. Hey, Pat. What's going on, guys? Nice to see you. Share this out. Tell us where you're from. Tell us what you're hoping for this week. We want to hear from you.
And get your Sell or Die Keurig subscription because it comes once a week. And I'm telling you what, last week we almost ran out. It was like panic in this place.
It was horrible. We were checking the mail room every day.
Ration coffee.
I took the last one.
Yeah. I'm not going to say we're addicted, but it's pretty damn close.
So Dave wants you to know he's now living in Davidson.
Oh, pardon me, Dave.
He moved down a few exits.
Nice. Yeah.
Davidson actually has a cool coffee shop. I've been there.
Yeah. You can walk up and down the street, and it's kind of cool.
And they have some local shops, which is neat.
Most famous resident of Davidson.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy, Steph Curry.
That guy plays basketball.
That guy would play basketball, yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually live in Davidson, but
he was born there.
To Davidson.
He put Davidson on the map.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, Wes, good morning, Wes. What up, Dale?
All right, so let's get down to business.
I love it. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the difference between wanting sales right now and needing sales right now and holding out for the long-term relationship.
Right. It's the difference between pushy and pull-y.
Hmm.
I think.
Did you just make up a word?
Yeah.
Pulley.
Thank you.
I was trying to cue them up for that day.
No, hey, listen, Mr. Sound Effects person. When you do something really good, there should be a double ding. You know what I mean? Like if like
let's just say let's just work on getting one ding and then we'll talk about the other ones, okay?
A double dinger.
Do you guys have our mug yet? These mugs are so freaking cool. First of all, they're oversized. They're like way more fun to drink.
Second of all, they hold coffee.
Yeah, Jeffrey likes to steal mine. Like it's like my mug is better than yours, even when you have the same mug. I don't get it. It's like our dogs.
I have my own mug today. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you. Let's
but people actually commented on the fact that I drank it.
Knows that you have your own mug.
Totally crazy. Oh, I see. Oh, wow.
So you can get your mug at buygetamer.com. We're going to pop in a link right now to get that mug as well.
Yeah. Do we still have the deal going?
Yeah, we still have the deal going.
Buy one, get one.
We want everyone to have this mug. So
buy one, get one. So you can have
a mug of coffee with... And no matter where you are, you can be anywhere in the world.
Your friends.
Both your friends. Right. So here's the deal. We're going to talk about the short-term and the long-term sale. Why do salespeople, and this is pretty much of a rhetorical question, press hard at the end of the month to make their quota? I see dead silence over here. Do you want me to answer the question?
He said it was rhetorical.
It is rhetorical because they haven't
answer
made enough
the
sales.
Rhetorical question, damn it.
So they haven't made enough sales during the month. Like, hello.
Yep.
And they're pressing hard because the boss has his foot up their ass. And, you know, you got to make the quota because you got to make the quota because we're going
to
die.
It's the end of the month. How many people have you spoken to that are like, I can't speak right now. It's our end of the month crunch time.
Yeah.
Well, where was the crunch time at the beginning of the month and the middle of the month and the 13th day of the month? Hello.
So everybody. Yeah, that's good deserving
ding.
Of a ring.
I love getting a ding.
So I have always coached salespeople to say you make your quota by the first 2 weeks of the month. And then you spend the rest of the month building for the following month. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. Every salesperson will tell you they want a long-term relationship with the customer that they have. And they're all full of shit. They don't want a long-term relationship. They want a sale. Mm-hmm. And they want the sale right now, and they want it immediately, and they're going to push to do every single manipulative thing they can to get the sale right now. And they walk in, they say, do you think we could have this wrapped up by Tuesday? And because Tuesday is their deadline day. And what they're saying to you is, universally, my pipeline is empty. Because if they had a full pipeline, they wouldn't have to worry about Tuesday. Tuesday would have already come and gone. So the bottom line is, if you want to make more sales, then you have to have more people in your pipeline who are willing to buy. Plain and simple. Add up the potential sales that you have in your CRM or whatever you do and hit that total. If that total is not four times the amount of sales that you need for the month, then you're going to come up short. I will promise you. I will guarantee you. I will bet money on it. Four times. So if you need 100,000.
All right. So I want you guys to check your pipelines right now and how many times put in how many X your pipeline is versus your quota for the month.
So if your quota is 100,000 a month, you need $400,000 worth of potential sales and not bullshit sales. I'm talking about real sales leads, people that are interested, and you're somewhere in the sales cycle with them. Somewhere where someone could actually pop in. Not, I know a guy at Xerox and they're 6 months down the road. I'm talking about this calendar
to close
month.
This month to close
right,
this
to
month.
Potentially close this month.
I still think though that it's a struggle, especially for new salespeople, when they come to a position, they want to prove themselves, they want to make sales, they're eager to make commissions more so than sales, and they struggle between how hard do I push this guy to buy right now versus this could be a 2 month process or a multiple month process to get that deal.
So is that Brent, something you've run into, Brent?
Yeah, Brent, let's pop you in here.
Yep, thanks.
This is Brent Thomas, by the way, one of the great salespeople on the planet. And he is our salesperson in charge of the Gittimer Learning Academy. And I want to make sure that he, because everyone who subscribes to GLA needs it for a year, correct?
Minimum.
And that's the, that. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Get a free demo.
No, look. Isn't that cool?
I love that. Yeah, I love that. That's right behind us.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That doesn't look like me.
No, that's
no,
not
but
you.
It's a very politically correct statement.
Anyway, so so have you been there, Brent?
Yes, yeah. I have been there. And that is a struggle, absolutely, to fill your pipeline and to not only fill your pipeline, but to figure out the timeline of the deal. Is it a 2-week deal? Is it a 1-week deal or is it a 2-month, 3-month deal We've been working on one that we've had several conversations with back and forth. It's lasted over a month now. It's probably going to be another few weeks at minimum.
Yep.
But it's a larger deal. Mm-hmm. The smaller deals tend to be a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the weeks pass by and you need to put a deal a week in that's a larger deal so that eventually the deals come 1 week apart. And now you're closing a deal a week and they're a bigger deal. But here,
okay, but your smaller deals, if you do the relationship right, your smaller deals can turn into bigger deals.
I don't disagree with
repeat
that.
Repeat customer and through referral. So I was working in retail, one of my first jobs.
Hang on for 1 second. Let me finish that point. Your small deals can become big deals by selling more to the existing customer, by having them refer you, and eventually renew.
Correct.
And that becomes your baseline.
But the
salesperson needs to sell more when they make that sale. Like you may be selling to an individual who works for a company and they have a team of people that might want to buy.
So you can go deeper with the smaller sales than you might imagine.
Right. So I'm not going to tell you, and I'm going to get to your story. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And I'm not harassing Jen. I love Jen.
Aww.
Here's the deal. I almost made me lose my train of thought, honey.
So cute.
It was distraction. It was distracting.
Here's the deal. The sales manager says make more sales. That's an incorrect statement. The sales manager should be saying fill your pipeline. Because if you fill your pipeline, sales happen. Mm-hmm. If you don't fill your pipeline, you got that one guy at the end of the month who never comes through, ever comes through.
That you're relying on.
Oh, yeah. You've already got that money
spent. He's going to come through this month.
So that's my challenge to you. You have to change. If you're a leader and, you know, if you're a diehard leader, sales leader, then, dude, admonish your people not to make more sales, but challenge them to fill their pipeline. Because if they fill the pipeline times four, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, how do people fill their pipeline? You said it's not just having a client or knowing about somebody.
Right. It's a matter of making certain that whatever you choose as your method of prospecting, that you become intense about it. Jeb Blunt, the great Jeb Blunt, has written a book called Fanatical Prospecting. And basically, that's what you have to do in order to be able to make certain that your pipeline is full. And maybe your fanatical prospecting this month deals with calling customers who love you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it deals with calling customers that don't know you. Maybe it deals with calling customers that you met but haven't followed up with properly. But whatever it is, you got to be fanatical about it. You come in an hour earlier, you stay an hour later, and in the middle, you work your ass off. That's the best way to fill your pipeline. It's a matter of calling, having the right strategy to call, knowing who you're talking to, doing the research on somebody so that when you talk to them, you understand how to communicate with them in their language. They don't care about you. They only care about themselves. And I want to challenge them. How can we help them the most?
And you have to figure out where your customers are hanging out. So if they're hanging out on Reddit boards, you have to go on Reddit boards. If they're hanging out...
I don't know anybody that hangs out on Reddit boards.
I do. Well, no. I don't know them, but I see them online. People ask
all
the time.
They have all weird names on Reddit boards.
It doesn't matter. People ask all the time for training suggestions on Reddit boards.
Got it.
So, should I be hitting up Reddit?
Yeah. Okay. If there's a sales Reddit. If your customers are hanging out on LinkedIn in specific groups, you need to join those groups and become a leader in those groups.
You have to post in those groups.
Exactly. And so you have to figure out where it is that they are so that you can more easily connect with them, engage with them, and provide them value.
That's our strategy. You have to have your strategy because you may be selling medical supplies. You may be selling other kinds of equipment. You may be selling life insurance. You have to find groups on LinkedIn that are germane to your topic. And then you can't just say, hey, call me if you need something. Rather, you have to say, here's how you can be a better person. Here's how you can earn more, win more, live longer.
Here's an article that might help you. Here, you know,
there are also Facebook groups as well.
Yes.
Yep, for sure.
There's another
option
there
for you. Listen,
there's
groups for everything. Yep. You know what? There's podcast groups for everything. Go try to be on a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Peloton group.
Really?
Yeah. I love it.
For spinners?
Actually, I love the offshoot groups more than the official groups.
They have meetups now. So you can actually see the person you're biking with, correct?
Yeah.
You went to a Peloton meetup, didn't you?
I did. It was pretty cool. I met other people who are just as obsessed with, or maybe more obsessed with Peloton than I am. And it inspired me.
Did everyone go with the Peloton clothing on?
Actually, surprisingly, no. Because I was debating, do I wear my gear? Do I not wear my gear? I didn't wear my gear. I wanted to look cute. And no one was wearing theirs. So that was pretty cool. I know. I know. Whoa. But everyone had gear, and the new line had just come out, and everyone was talking about what they bought.
I'm sure. Bunch of girls there?
And guys.
Yeah, guys talk about what they bought?
Yeah.
No, they
did. Yeah, they're obsessed.
It's
a tribe, Jeffrey. It's a tribe.
Okie dokie. So,
local tribe.
All right.
And
so,
please give us a couple hearts if you own Peloton gear.
If you're thinking about getting Peloton and want to chat with me, there's a 2-second delay, Jeffrey. If you're thinking about getting Peloton and want to chat with me, I'm happy to help and give you my thoughts on it. I'm personally obsessed with it. But
what ride are you on?
I'm going to be hitting my 100th ride in April, and I'll be celebrating by probably going to the New York studio to do my live
ride, you'll have a shout out by some McGillicuddy guy.
Yeah, by Dennis.
I'll get a shout out.
Could you do a live show on the bike?
I don't know, like a Facebook live on the live.
I'm getting it. I just crush it, sweat going everywhere.
That would be really
cool. We did a New York Minute on the bike.
We did do a New York Minute, but it was kind of a studio stage.
Let me tell you this.
Doug was like, okay, you got to pedal harder. I want to see the thing, the pedal move. And I'm like sweating. And he's like, okay, let's take a break.
Yeah, there was a law of diminishing returns there. At some point, you were just not able to speak anymore.
I really wanted to go hard, you know? Anyway. A sales manager I had in one of my first jobs after...
Oh, this is your story now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
After high school, said something to me that changed my selling philosophy for life.
Whoa.
And I was working in retail, where it's different than B2B because you really have to wait on the customer to enter your store in a lot of cases.
You actually have to look at the customer.
You have to talk to them.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
No email.
Can't be on your phone.
Right. Serve them.
No, yeah, exactly. And all I wanted to do on my first day was sell as much clothing as possible. High-end designer, European fashion. I wanted to sell thousands of dollars of clothing because that meant hundreds of dollars of commission for me, right? And that's what I was thinking about. And she said to me, look, people are going to ask you if something looks good on them. If it doesn't look good on them, you don't have to say it looks like crap. Go find them something that's going to look better on them. Because if you tell them it looks good and it doesn't look good, and they get home and they show their friends and they're all excited, and they get home and they show their friends and their friends are like, that's
doesn't
horrible.
Yeah.
Take that back. Who on earth sold that to you?
Yeah,
you've now lost their trust for life. You've lost their friend's potential business.
Hey, they come back tomorrow and they go, do you have anything else shitty? Thank you.
And you're done. She said, we are a neighborhood boutique. We rely on long-term relationships. Some of my customers have been coming here for 10 years.
Whoa.
Because they trust me. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to the store for the clothes. I mean, the clothes were good. They were going to the store to shop with Susie.
We have customers that came in at a size 6 and now they're a size 10.
Because of the cupcake shop next door.
We're right next door to a hamburger joint.
Exactly. we were actually next door to a homemade ice cream shop.
Oh,
homemade
cool.
ice cream is amazing. So, you know, she said, we rely on repeat, long-term business. We rely on their referrals. And that changed my thinking. I never let someone go out of that store with something that I didn't think they should be super proud of. Mm-hmm. And I came at it from the point of, I need to help these people because sometimes people don't know what's good for them
and
what's
not. They have no taste.
Well, also,
from Jersey.
I know I can look at something and say, that would look really good on you or that would look really good on you because I can see your shape and I could see the clothes. But a lot of customers weren't able to do that. They didn't know what was right for them. So my job was to help. And so your job as a salesperson is to help. And when you come at it from that perspective of, I need to help my clients and I need to focus on having them as long-term relationships, not only do they win, but you win.
And I want you to think about it from a standpoint of going deeper with that customer. I did a lot of training in retail, and I created questions.
Mm-hmm.
When someone says, for example, just looking, I would say, are you just looking for something for business or just looking for something casual? And that way I could find out where, and then I would say, well, let me show you what just came in.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they're, because I don't want to show them what's on sale. I want to show them what just came in because that meant full retail. That's number one. Number two, when I got them into something, I would say, who are you trying to impress with this?
Ooh.
Who do you want to throw out the compliment to you? And you can't be insulting. You say, well, geez, have you always been this overweight? Are you thinking about losing weight? Right, exactly. You cannot say that.
That's whoa.
Yeah.
That was worth a ding, Doug.
I just gave you a like.
Okay, cool.
Now, why would you ask that question?
Because you're an idiot.
No. Why would you ask the correct question?
Oh, you asked the correct question because you want to engage them more emotionally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You want them to feel like if, you know, Bob is going to love this. My husband, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, whatever it is, they're going to love this and love me in it.
Mm-hmm.
The people at work are going to be so impressed with how I look.
Or they might tell you about an event they have coming up that they're wearing it to, that's special, that you can write down
clothing
and ask them about it.
Clothing is a vanity purchase. And it may be vanity because you want it to look good yourself, or you may want someone to look, say you look good, or you may just want to make Mary jealous of you. Whatever it is, there's a motive behind it, and you may not know about that until you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this from the perspective of, yes, I have to make them look good, but I also have to engage them emotionally to that deeper level. And if you're selling B2B and you think this doesn't apply to you, that's a bunch of crap. You still have the situation where there's an emotional element to what it is that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Jeffrey, that a lot of people confuse the qualifying aspect of it towards actually asking questions that could potentially help them,
mm-hmm.
like you mentioned.
Yeah, so they're thinking about the qualifying aspect in terms of them as a salesperson and how it's going to help them close the deal instead of asking questions that are going to emotionally engage and connect with the prospect to help them.
Salespeople have a distorted sense of qualification and a distorted sense of help. And so I go into some place to buy a home, and the guy, the real estate agent, says, do you have a home to sell? And are you pre-qualified for a mortgage? Do you have a budget in mind? I go, dude, I want a house, not an interrogation. And then the salesperson has the audacity to say, well, I'm just trying to help you. I say, no, you're not trying to help me.
You're trying to help you.
You're trying to qualify me, you jackass.
Mm-hmm.
I want a house.
Oh,
well, what part of that had to do with house?
Right.
Well, I'm just trying to help. No, they're people who don't want to waste their time, and they want to qualify you right away because their boss has said, qualify the customer.
Yep.
And I say, don't qualify anybody ever. Just like them. Because if you like them, they may like you back. And if you find something in common, they may have something deeper that you can get involved with emotionally.
And they may know 10 other people who may like you back and who may want to buy from you.
They're going to say something great, something good, nothing, something bad or something real bad. And you decide. Yeah, I went to that real estate play. The guy was an ass.
All right, guys, we need you to share this out to your networks.
Yeah, tell both your friends immediately.
We are going to keep coming back to you live every Monday, but we need your help in spreading the word so more and more people can join and get and benefit from this episode and from these episodes. So the next person to share this out is going to win a free Sell or Die mug.
Whoa.
It says, I'm
can
a diehard.
For my phone?
All you have to do is pay the postage of $48.
No. It's
no
a free
postage?
Sell or Die mug.
The
link to buy it is actually at the top, but if you share it out and then let us know in the comments that you shared it, the next person to let us know will win the mug. And in the front says there's no prize for second place in sales. Damn straight.
It's really a cool mug, and it holds a lot of coffee, and you'll really like it. And it says, I'm a diehard. And
Because
you are a diehard.
So Ron says, one of my challenges is I'm a frugal Yankee, so I try to save my customers money.
For those of you who don't speak English, it means he's a cheap bastard.
Oh,
a frugal Yankee.
That's a good term.
Yes. Keep going.
So he tries to save his customers' money. I don't see the challenge there. Okay. Are you saying you make less money? He said it's not a good strategy. They came to spend. Oh, well, it is a good, it could be a good strategy because in the long term, they're going to keep coming back to you.
If you ever go to a heart surgeon.
Yeah, what are you selling, Ron?
If you ever go to a heart surgeon and he says, we're having a special today, 2 for 1, or I think I can save you money on this operation by only doing one of your arteries. Like, that's not why
Ron knows you. I think he did graphic stuff when you did t-shirts together.
Oh, really?
Or something. Yeah,
oh, cool.
I think. Ron, is that right?
Yeah, Ron.
Dude.
Ron,
hey, what city are you from? So I'll know where I know you're from.
I saw a billboard and it said, dentists, we're the cheapest dentists in town.
Eesh.
And I was like, that does not appeal to me
dentist.
At all.
Right.
I literally was like, I would never go there.
Right, of exactly. course not.
The cheapest exactly. dentist in town.
Because the natural question is, where are the cost savings coming
yeah.
from?
Exactly.
I want the cleanest dentist in town.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the most competent dentist in town. I have a great dentist, Scott Meniker.
People and fly in from all over the country
to see
our
Scott.
Dentist. Yeah, Scott Meniker.
Scott Meniker,
Smile Charlotte.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Meniker, Rodney, Smile Charlotte is his name. Smile Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I've never asked him how much something's going to cost.
No, because you trust him.
Well, I want...
Whatever he says it's going to cost, it's going to... Yeah, you have good teeth, Jeffrey.
I have good teeth, but I got them courtesy of Scott.
Me too.
And they want to go, hey, do you have a toothbrush? No, I don't want a toothbrush. I don't want any of that free crap.
I don't brush my teeth.
Well, I do, but I use they sell Sonicare, so I have a Sonicare.
Ron says he's not that old.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. I'm not that
but
old
I
either.
I think you guys were in the same industry at some point. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, cool. So here's the deal now. Are you thinking long term yet? That's the subject of the day. Are you thinking long term or are you thinking, my boss has his foot up my butt and I need to make a sale this week? And it's a very difficult choice sometimes.
Or maybe you have your own foot up your own butt. It may not be pressure from your boss. It may,
right, you may be your mortgage payment.
Make sure to stretch beforehand
right.
if you do that. Make sure you don't want to.
Exactly.
Downward dog, guys.
Exactly.
Downward dog.
That's a self-ding.
The Woody Allen line was, and the guy told me to be fruitful and multiply, but not in those words.
So, Nakia, I think I'm pronouncing your name right, says, I'm in retail selling ladies' accessories. How can I get the customer to focus more on the product and less on me as the seller?
It's easy. Keep asking them questions about how they intend to use what it is you're trying to talk to them about. Whether it's a scarf or a purse, or a brooch, or a shoe, I want to know where they're going to wear it. I want to know what kind of use is it going to get. Is it a one-time use, a 10-time use, a daily use? What's the real deal here? So I can direct them to quality. I want to direct them to something that's eye-catching mm-hmm. and show-stopping.
Yeah, you asked some good questions for retail earlier, so I would go back and watch this episode.
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
Steal 5 questions from you.
Exactly. No, I love the retail process, and I have all kinds of episodes that I could relate to, but not in this issue because we're almost done this issue.
Let's get some Gittimer shirts.
Yeah, well, we have some Gittimer shirts, but I think stories that have happened to me in the retail environment, and they're fun to do. It's fun to do because in retail, you are the customer, you have the money, and they want the money. Mm-hmm. And the way they get the money has to do with how they treat you. Sometimes you won't take, sometimes they won't take yes for an answer because they're a bunch of jerks. And go into 50% of the car dealerships or anytime you're trying to buy something that's a big ticket item, you got somebody who's there who's a hawk.
Yeah.
And they know that they want to put their hands around your ankle and not let you go, well, okay, thanks. I'm just going to look around. No, please don't leave. I'll be your best friend. We have a special deal, 5 for 1 today. Yeah. If you just buy now,
yep.
please.
I think it's a little different when people are coming to you, mm-hmm. to your store, retail, auto dealerships,
yeah.
as opposed to calling somebody, whether it's cold,
yeah.
whether it's face to face.
But I'm just going to share this with you. Retail is a better environment to learn sales because you have to face the customer.
Yep.
You have to engage the customer emotionally, and you get to see their reaction and respond to them immediately. If you're B2B, odds are you're doing half email, half phone, half whatever, and you don't have as much physical contact with them, and the retail sale is more immediate.
Mm-hmm.
it may happen at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, that may be the fulcrum point. And if the guy says, well, let me think about it, I'll get back to you, that's a no. That's a definite no.
Have you ever gone back and bought something you were thinking about?
Rarely. Hmm. It's my way of saying you're a jerk. Hmm. But I don't want to tell you you're a jerk because you already kind of know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Have you gone back and bought something?
No.
Oh.
I do.
Yeah.
You're going to go for a health club membership and you go, okay, we're still shopping around. That means no.
Right. It means no, this place hasn't done it for me yet.
Bingo. You know, you don't have the groove. You don't have the stuff I'm looking for. And now, you don't have to go to the bike shop anymore. You can walk out of your house. There's a bike sitting right in front of your house for $1 an hour.
Yeah.
They're all over the street. And there's new competition coming. And I would guarantee you that the average salesperson today who's been selling their stuff for 5 years is not qualified themselves to deal with the new competition. Amazon may be your new competition. You're not enough of a warrior. Thank you, Doug. You're not enough of a sales warrior, and you need the sales warrior kit so you can have the right attitude. You can overcome objections as they occur. You know what value really is and how to express it in a way that it's transferred and perceived as value, and you know how to close a sale. Mm-hmm. That's what the sales warrior kit is all about, and that's why you need to go buy it right now. Thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent graphic, by the way.
Oh, I love that graphic.
That's
that
by our graphic
cool.
designer, Ashley. And yes, if you want a sales warrior for yourself, givegittimer.com is the address, and if you want it for your team, you can email helpme@gittimer.com.
Thank you, Doug. And yeah. Many people think, well, why are you using a guy as a warrior? That actually happens to be a bearded lady. So don't be fooled by the graphic that's there.
We
just saw that P.T. Barnum movie. And
oh, that movie was so good.
So good.
I just pinned the link in the comments if you need the link to go get the warrior.
It's called The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman, yeah.
And it's about the circus, but there's a bearded lady in there who owns it. I mean, she's a phenomenal actress.
Yeah, she's really cool.
And that brings us to our entrepreneur topic. No.
Okay, guys, so what questions do you have? Give us some questions so we can help you with your week. And while you're typing those in, Brent, what is your commitment this week?
My commitment last week was to find 10 leads.
Uh-huh.
Based off my previous sales. So I'm going to continue to do that.
Okay, cool.
Because I didn't quite hit 10.
Okay.
I got 8.
Whoa.
Not bad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say not bad. That's very good.
Yeah, very good.
You millennial, you.
Yeah. So my commitment this week is to approach the situation differently.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of trying to get the immediate sale, look more long term.
Cool. I love
you
that.
You have to look at it from a standpoint of...
But still trying to get
what's the value of this customer?
Just for
customer?
The record, I got it.
What is the value of this customer? By helping this customer, what could I expect to do long term? And is there any value in me pressing for the short term sale? Mm-hmm. Is there a value there?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, then you can press for it. Or you can maybe back off your whole short term thing if there's 10 people involved in something. And you are able to not have to sell all 10, you can just say, can we start with 2? Let's monitor it real closely. And if you love it, we'll go for 8. Is that fair enough? Now you've made a sale, boom.
But how do they decide which 2? They're like, oh, my best 2, my worst 2?
You pick a good one and a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you reward the best 2.
Or a man and a woman.
You choose. Sure.
You know, there's all kinds of ways to do it. And maybe they need, you know what? I was wrong. We need 3. And
if they can't decide, they can just get it for everyone.
Yeah. Exactly. But we were talking this morning earlier, and when someone decides to take a lesser amount and you say okay and go forward, at some point they're going to pay in some way or another. At the point of payment, you can still ask the closing question of, are you sure you only want a couple of people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you don't
It's like the cherry story you told
The cherry
last
story
week.
Indeed. Are you sure you don't want everybody and just, you know, let's rock and roll with it? Because I have a great way to launch for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And, well, how do I know if my people are going to take it? Well, you make it mandatory. Oh. Like, our best customers make training mandatory, not optional. And they do 10 or 15 minutes a day, and it works. They take the, on the Gittimer Learning Academy, they take the assessment, and they're hooked.
We have a really cool thing on the Gittimer Learning Academy. Doug, can you pop that on?
Yeah. We have that. Wow, there you go.
Welcome, sales warrior. You're about to go on the path to greatness.
That I want to share with you. We're going to go fast. Luckily, it's being recorded. Philosophy drives attitude. Attitude drives action. Action drives results. Picture this. You're in an argument. It's somewhere between difference of opinion and screaming mad. Attitude is everything, and attitude is the foundation for everything. Cool.
So we've been talking about the long-term customer or gaining a customer for long-term. And in order to do that, it's all about providing value.
Correct.
And this whole course is value first and talking about, it's in front of us, not behind us now. This is really cool.
Yeah, we're
guys.
Behind it.
Way to go. So what are some of your value tips, Jeffrey?
Well, value is the least understood word in the world of sales because people always put another word with it.
Added value,
right? Dumb, stupid thing. It infers that you have to buy something in order to get the value. My philosophy has always been give value first. And what it means is that the customer perceives that what you're doing for them helps them enough to a point where they say, wow, this is a good guy. Oh, I'm going to buy from him or her. And I think that you have to look at it from that perspective or you have misunderstood the process. There's also a value proposition that many customers call a value prop or many salespeople call a value prop. If it has the word we in it, strike it. Value propositions have to be in terms of the customer and how they win. If it is not, then it's not a real value proposition. It's not like we offer 24-hour service. Rather, it should say, you have our machine, and sometimes that machine breaks, and you need service. And luckily for you, it's 24/7. I didn't use the word we in that sentence.
No, not once.
And that's what I want to know. I don't care. We offer, sir, we're a great service. I don't care about you. I only care about me, my business, my people, my circumstance, my sales, my profit, my internal morale. My health insurance, my payroll, you know, I'm concerned with me and my business. And if you have a way to communicate with me in terms of that, I might get it and then I might buy from you. I like you. I believe you. I have confidence in you. I trust you. Then I may buy from you.
Yep.
Whoa.
Cha-ching.
I love cha-ching.
That was well deserved.
Well
deserved, Jeffrey.
Thank you very kindly.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
We're really
week.
Loving the animation
The production quality of Motivation Monday.
We have a good team here.
Has definitely improved literally exponentially over the course of the last several weeks. We have gone from we can't do shit to we are the shit.
It's all about giving value first, and so that's why we do this. We want to give
value.
We want it, like literally comment in and talk to us because we want to help
you. Dude, we're here to answer a question.
We're here, we're sitting around, we're hanging out, you know, we're talking to you, Brent, whatever you need, but also guys on Facebook
Live.
Doug
and Steve behind the curtain there, behind the
behind
you want
the
to say
glass
something? You're leaning
window.
Into the microphone, Doug. It looks like you have nothing to say.
And look, I want to say something to our users that your questions help me as well. And hopefully my questions will help you. So
let's
keep it engaging.
I love that.
Yep.
I love that.
The questions help us understand who you are as an audience. What are your real needs? You know, first of all, do you need to make quota or do you need to have more of a full pipeline? Or do you need to have better questions to ask the customer when you're engaging and involving with them? Are you hiding behind email or do you pick the phone up? And those are real, real questions that you need to answer yourself. I think that the hardest questions to answer in sales are the ones you ask yourself.
Yeah.
It's just like the hardest door to open in sales is your car door.
Yeah. To get out, right?
Exactly.
So, all right, guys, we're going to wrap it up.
We are?
We are.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was just starting to have some fun.
I want to touch on 4 points that Jeffrey just mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't want it to get overlooked. He said that if somebody likes you, believes you, has confidence in you, and trusts you, then they may buy from you. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an excellent point, what he had just said.
Well, so and you happen to be an excellent judge, cool. Brent. Thank you very Thanks. Kindly
That's
for that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Alan says, Alan, what is your favorite POS? I'm assuming that's point of sale
yes.
system.
Huh? Yeah. Point of sale.
Let's hope so.
Because I can think of three other words that
right,
could stand
exactly.
for.
Yeah.
Three other words. Oh, yeah. My favorite POS. I got it. I got it. I don't have a favorite POS.
I don't either. Yeah. Whatever works for you. I don't
yeah.
know.
Well,
either.
If you're.
I'm not.
It
I don't.
Depends what you're selling, what your product
them.
Is.
So there are experts in that area. I apologize.
No. I have a POS customer, but it's not really fair for me to.
No, not that kind of POS. Huh? Oh, you have
point
a customer. I know.
Yeah.
You have a customer
so
that provides
stuff,
that.
Like when you go to a restaurant. They have a point of sale machine mm-hmm. that enters your order and tells you that you want your steak medium or you want your steak rare or whatever, and then the chef looks at it and ignores it.
Well, the key that's
POS.
The key right. is to keep it simple. And the key is it has to be something that your salespeople are going to use and enter data into and find useful.
My favorite point of sale is the point when they give me the sign check.
Exactly. That is, that's,
he
or the credit card.
Himself, guys.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
dinged himself. That was a self ding.
So until.
Yeah, we know it's point of sale, Alan. Thank you.
Until we're going to join us tomorrow for Sell or Die.
Yeah. Coming up, we have an amazing episode tomorrow with
Martin
Rooney. He is a real warrior training for warriors. He's really freaking cool.
Yep.
You can get it at sellordiepodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. It's going to be a great episode.
Yep. You can go to, if you go to Overcast, though, and you rate us, we might get back to the number one position. Not that we're begging. But we will cross the 50,000 download mark this month, and
yeah,
we are very proud
exciting.
Of what this show has become, and we do it for you. We do it to help. We do it to have fun, and we hope that the value that we provide to you will help you go out there and make another sale. Until next Monday.
Oh, wait. So next Monday, we'll be airing from Paris.
Really?
Yeah. Is that freaking cool or what?
Wait, will I be there?
You yeah. and
okay,
I will
we're
be
gonna
there.
Wait, will I be there?
No,
come on.
Yeah. They're so fast on the,
wrong
the
two
sound.
Out of three.
I love this.
But we will be doing it. Let's do it from the foot of the Eiffel Tower.
I don't know if the Wi-Fi is good enough from there. Doug may have issues.
Oh.
Doug wants
yeah, that's
the
not
quality
actually,
to
the
be
The Eiffel
perfect.
Tower not actually an antenna. So Wi-Fi.
So we'll Ooh. Probably do it
Wait,
from
Doug,
our Airbnb.
You can give yourself applause for that. That was so good. Okay, good.
So we'll probably do it from our Airbnb where we know the Wi-Fi is good.
Or we can do it from a place that no Parisians go. Starbucks.
The shower?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, so we'll see you live. It'll be 6 o'clock our time-ish
nice.
Or, you know, afternoon yep. our time-ish, and we will be here for you to help you guys out.
And
so think about what you want to talk about with us next week and just message us on Facebook.
We will also have a very special guest
here.
From Paris, the best salesperson I know, Gabrielle Gittimer.
Ooh, a 9-year-old salesperson. I love it.
Closing ratio of 100%.
It's more like 200%.
It's 200%.
If that's possible.
Exactly. And I want you to find out why she gets her way all the time.
Not all the time.
Why she gets her way mostly all of the time.
200% of the time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's pretty good at selling.
We should do it from the park at St. Catharines.
I don't know. The Wi-Fi. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We're being told we got to go.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you guys. Have a great week.
And bye.
Bye.